welcome to the 364th episode of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my terrific co-host, Gita Roberts, also known as Girl Carnivore because of her creative and colorful culinary expertise. We know you can't travel yet, but also know that things will change, hopefully sooner than later. In the meantime, we're continuing this weekly show so that a half hour of armchair travel will take you back to the good old days and help you understand that they will come back soon. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com or check out the show later on Facebook. Tonight, our guest is Lucy Guthridge, and I want to say Bagel, but you've got to correct me, Lucy. How do you pronounce your last name?
Bigley.
Bigley, okay. Public relations and earned media manager of Glacier Country, Montana, one of the most photogenic places on the planet. Welcome, Lucy, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for doing this. You know, when I hear anything with the word glacier in it, I think of Glacier National Park, one of the most beautiful of all the national parks. So please tell us where Glacier Country is and what it includes.
I will. So Glacier Country does indeed include Glacier National Park, but we're actually Glacier Country is actually a 22,000 square mile region in northwestern Montana. So not only do we have Glacier National Park, but we also have the town of Missoula, which is about 70,000 people, Hamilton, Kalispell, Whitefish, Flathead Lake, and about 75 little communities dotted throughout our region, and 7 ski areas. So we are a very diverse region. We don't just have Glacier National Park.
And I can tell you that it's a massive region to be watching on Zillow on the housing market, just saying. But when we talk about Glacier National Park in particular, isn't it just the American side of a larger national park also shared by Canada? Which half is bigger, and what can visitors do there?
Yeah, so Glacier National Park itself is over 1 million acres or 1,600 square miles, and Waterton, which is on the Canadian side, is 195 square miles, and together they make up the Waterton Glacier International Peace Park. But before we get into what visitors do there, I do need to be responsible and tell you the bad news, which is that Glacier National Park is currently closed, and once it opens, it's going to have limited services. But because this is an inspirational travel show that inspires future travel, I am happy to talk about it to inspire your listeners to visit us in the future. And it's on many people's bucket lists for very good reasons. Visitors can go hiking. They can go biking, including e-bikes in Glacier National Park. They can go camping. They can take scenic drives in some of the most scenic areas you've ever seen in your life. And Kita, you can attest to that. You can do tours through one of the many tour services up there, which they'll take you hiking if you're not comfortable hiking on your own or biking. You can do historic boat tours, red bus rides, or sun tours, which is a tour on a bus that gives you the Native American perspective. You can visit their historic lodges. And then, of course, there is so much animal watching that you can do. You can see moose, grizzly bears, all sorts of things there. So it is a spectacular, spectacular bucket list place to go and visit.
Just telling some people about it yesterday, I agree that it is a spectacular bucket list place. It also makes me very happy to know that it's closed during this current time. I know a lot of our national parks are managing that as well as they can, but I can't wait till we can be planning it. So if I'm planning in colder weather this year, is the park typically closed during the winter? And when's the normal season usually run? Is it Memorial Day to Labor Day?
So it's not. There is a common misconception that Glacier Park is only open seasonally, but it's actually open all year round. And spring, winter, and fall are actually my preferred times to visit because you'll find that there are fewer visitors then. In the winter time, there's cross-country skiing, there's snowshoeing. It's absolutely beautiful and pristine. And then in the springtime, you can bike on the Going to the Sun Road. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but it was on my bucket list, and it's seriously one of the most amazing things I've ever done. And then in the fall. It is the fall colors are absolutely spectacular. So yes, it is open all year long. And the whole Memorial Day to Labor Day thing is, we joke about it here in Montana, because people think that the Going to the Sun Road is should be open on Memorial Day, and it's only open when they can snowplow it, when they can snowplow the entire 50-mile length of it, and it bisects Glacier National Park, and sometimes it does. Sometimes we can't plow the entire thing until about the end of June is a typical time that Going to the Sun opens. But Glacier Park itself is open all year long, and I highly recommend it in the shoulder seasons.
Okay, you made a reference, Lucy, a minute ago to the red buses, low to the ground coaches introduced in the 30s, right?
Yes. So they still use the red buses. They still have a fleet of 33, which operate seasonally. And they were created in the 30s. They have been updated since then. And the drivers of these buses are called jammers, because you used to be able to hear them jamming on the gears as they went up and down this very steep road. Things have improved since then, but the restored historic buses still look the same. And again, Keita can attest, because we did a red bus ride when Keita came out to visit us. They have removable roofs, so if the weather cooperates, people can stand up and take pictures as they go. And the drivers are well-versed in the history and geographic features of the park, so it's not only some of the most impressive scenery you'll ever see, but you'll also learn a lot about the area. And there are numerous routes and lengths of routes that you can take around the park, many of them stopping or starting at the historic lodges that are dotted on the outskirts of Glacier National Park. So it really is, again, a bucket list item on many people's lists, is to take one of these red bus tours. And the drivers also will stop along all sorts of vistas, so people can take beautiful photographs of wildlife or of waterfalls, and it is an amazing experience. I highly recommend it.
I've been up there too, not recently, but a number of years ago, and I took that red bus tour, and I took my camera out. I don't think I ever put my camera away. I mean, it was just spectacular, as you said. For a sneak peek of the natural beauty without the sight or sound of automobiles, can people take mountain bikes out on the roads, maybe when they're not quite open yet?
So they can. And again, this was one of my favorite things I've ever done in my life. So before the road is completely plowed, they open up the roads to mountain bikes. And just starting this year, you can also do e-bikes, which might be more up some people's alley. And so in the springtime, the road's clear up until the very top of it, where there's still, gosh, sometimes 20, 30, 40 feet of snow. And so cars can't go up, but you can bike up it. And you can bike up as far as you want. You can go as slow as you want. It's very the road gains a lot of elevation, but it's pretty gradual. And so even someone who's not a great biker like me, I made it up the Going to the Sun Road. And it is such an amazing thing to be out there in nature and to be doing it all on your own pedal power and just stopping whenever you want and taking pictures. And I actually did it with a guided group. And so I met a group at in a parking lot, and one of our guide services met us there with bikes and helmets and lunches for us, and they carried our lunches up. And so all we had to do was hop on our bikes that were already set for us and bike up there. And then we had a picnic lunch at the top. And then the going down is so much fun. So that was an incredible thing. And now with e-bikes, absolutely anyone can experience this.
I got to find out what an e-bike is. It sounds like something, when you get too close to the edge, you go, ee! No?
Close, Dan.
Well, actually, what is an e-bike?
Oh, it's a bike that is powered by electricity. So you can pedal it as much as you want, but it also will help you propel up the road.
Okay. Now I got it. You learn something every day. And we're talking with Lucy Begley of Glacier Country, Montana.
Adding the pedaling up the sun road to my bucket list since I have already done the Red Bus tours. So can you tell us a little bit more about going to the Sun Highway?
Yes. So going to the Sun Highway bisects Glacier National Park, and it winds up over the Continental Divide through the Rocky Mountains, and it's an engineering marvel. It was constructed in the early 1930s, and it has many, many switchbacks, and it winds through these amazing peaks, and you look down on the valleys. If you are afraid of heights, this might not be for you because it's a very, very narrow road, but it is absolutely an engineering marvel. I cannot imagine that these construction workers in the 1930s actually were able to accomplish what they did. And in the summertime, you'll find that there are quite a few cars that take advantage of going to the sun. And there are also places that you can stop and hike along the way. And so many people take advantage of that as well. At the top there is Logan Pass, and there is a visitor center there, and there are lots of hikes, including the Highline Trail, which is a very popular trail. And people will drive up or take the shuttle up to the Logan Pass Visitor Center and then hike from there. So it's about 50 miles long, and it goes from West Glacier to East Glacier, and so it really does bisect the park.
And what wildlife can visitors hope to spot while they're traveling, going to Sun Highway?
You know, you can see everything from bears to mountain goats, bighorn sheep, lynx. You probably won't see moose on going to the Sun Road, but you'll see moose in the lower elevations. Kita, you and I saw a moose up close and personal when you came out to visit, probably a little closer than we anticipated. We had to warn a fellow hiker that there was a moose coming up behind her. And let's see, numerous types of deer. I've never seen wolverines, but apparently there are wolverines in Glacier National Park. And then also,
see a wolverine.
I know. I don't think I'd want to see a wolverine. And then there are also numerous smaller mammals such as beaver, otters, and porcupines. But those you would see in the lower elevations as well. So lots and lots of wildlife opportunities. And of course we do.
Go ahead.
We do have guidelines about how close you should get to all of these animals. And the answer is not very for every single one of them. And in fact, there is a dog that they have, that Glacier National Park has that stays in the parking lot of Logan Pass, and the dog scares away the bighorn sheep that tend to congregate there because the bighorn sheep are not afraid of humans, and so this sheep dog scares away the bighorn sheep, so they keep their distance. But we don't recommend that you get close to any of these animals. But you can, of course, see them from your car when you're hiking. You will definitely see lots of animals.
Respecting the wildlife is always a top priority so that we can continue to see them. Now, Glacier Country is absolutely massive, which, you know, was mind-boggling to me and has a lot of towns. So let's start with Missoula, where you are based.
Yeah. So Glacier Country is massive. We are one of six regions in Montana. Montana is about the size of Germany, and Glacier Country is 22,000 square miles. So we have, as I mentioned at the beginning, we have much more than just Glacier National Park. And yes, I'm based in Missoula, which is a charming town for us. It's a large town. It's the second largest town in Montana, and we have a population of about 75,000. And we are the largest town in Glacier Country, and we have a university here. We have fantastic restaurants and nightlife and breweries. We have 26 breweries in Missoula alone. Let's see, there is lots to do. Every one of the communities that I've mentioned are gateways to outdoor activities. And in Missoula, especially from my house, for example, I'm looking out my living room window and I can see a hiking trail. The access to outdoor activities are unbelievable. You can go mountain biking. We've got we have a river that goes right through Missoula, and there is a surf wave, a man-made surf wave there. And so people kayak and play in their kayaks, and there's stand-up paddleboarding and paddleboard yoga. And there's a ski area, which you can see from downtown Missoula. And the seven ski areas that I mentioned, they're all within, gosh, you can reach every single one of them within 2.5 hours of driving. So the skiing is fantastic in the winter. I like to tell people that the story that there are some times of the year that you can ski and surf in the same day, because the river won't be frozen over. And so you can surf in the river, and then you can ski, and people will surf all year long because they wear wetsuits. And then you can ski in the afternoon. We have fantastic farmers markets, and in fact, Sunset Magazine. I think that they said that the Missoula Farmers Market was one of the top 10 farmers markets in the U.S. So we have two farmers markets with lots of seasonal Montana food, which Keita, I know, excites you. So yeah, it's a charming town. We also have lots of art galleries, and we have a fantastic music scene. The live music here is second to none. So pretty much any night of the week, especially in the summertime, you can find live music somewhere, and not just local music, but really well-known bands tend to love to come to Missoula. We also have Fort Missoula, and the historical museum that goes with that. And so lots of art and culture, along with fantastic food and access to the outdoors. So it's a good spot to be based.
And with an eye toward the winter, we hear Whitefish has a great winter carnival. I'd love to know about the penguin plunge, but don't think I'd like to try it.
The penguin plunge, oh my goodness, I would not enjoy that either. That is when people dive into Whitefish Lake, and they have to break the ice to get into the lake. So they're jumping into freezing cold water. I wouldn't like to do that either. But the winter carnival is at the end of January every year. And Whitefish is a quintessential charming ski town. It's absolutely fabulous. You can see the ski area right from town. And obviously in the wintertime, in the evenings, they light the chairlift. And so you can see that the lights going up and down the mountain. And during winter carnival, they create a snow bar. They have a parade of lights. They have ice carving sculptures. And it's a 3-day activity that they have lots of family activities, and it's a fantastic time for not only the community but people who are visiting Whitefish in the winter. It's really a fantastic time to be in Whitefish. So, but I wouldn't like the penguin plunge either, and it's not required to participate in the winter carnival.
Okay, we have to mention something called skidoring. I can hardly pronounce it, but it sounds like a one-of-a-kind event.
Yes, so skidoring is actually part of the winter carnival, but it also is an activity that you can do around western Montana at various places, including the Rebecca Farms in Kalispell. And skidoring is similar to rodeo in the fact that people travel around to participate in skidoring. And what it is you are pulled behind a horse while on skis. And it's a course, so it's not very long. It's maybe a block or so long. So you don't go for very long, but you go over jumps. You're timed, and you are judged by your style, by whether or not you crash, by all sorts of things. And so there are actually people who travel around to do these different skidoring events, but people who are just novices who have never tried it, but who might be a good horseback rider or who might be a good skier can sign up to try it out. And so you would be, if you were a good skier, you would be paired with someone who was a good horseback rider, and you could try the novice section of skidoring. It's Norwegian in origin, and it is a very fun event, not only to try, but also to watch. Some of our guest ranches also offer skidoring as one of their activities. So it's a interesting sport that I think might be just taking off right now.
Okay, we're talking with Lucy Begley of Glacier Country, Montana. Kita?
Now, for our animal lovers, then you have dog sledding, cat skiing, and, of course, horse-drawn sleigh rides. Can people try their own hands at mushing a dog sled?
You can. You can mush your own dog sled. There are a number of places to dog sled in the region, and you have the option of mushing your own dog. The owner gives you plenty of instruction and then skis along next to you to make sure everything goes well. And so typically you would be, the musher would be standing up, and then you would have a passenger in front of you, and then the 6 to 8 dogs are pulling you. And I went to visit one of these places that takes people dog sledding, and it is pretty amazing how the dogs are housed. It felt to me like it was a sorority or a fraternity, because some of the dogs were 3 in a kennel area, and some of them were 2, and some of them were 1. And I was asking the owner about, well, why is that dog by himself? Isn't he lonely? And he said, oh no, he's mad at Sasha over there, and Sasha has to be with her sister or she gets nippy. And I mean, it is, the psychology of pairing these dogs up with each other was hilarious. And these dogs are so excited to go out mushing. This is what they're bred for. And they're so excited to go dog sledding. So it is quite an experience. And base camp up in Big Fork is where I went and visited, and they have a lodge where you can stay. And so you can go out for a half day or a full day, and you can stay at their lodge, or you can just, if you're visiting in the Flathead area, for example, you can just go and try your hat at a half day dog sledding adventure. And it's quite an experience. We also have horse-drawn sleigh rides, horseback riding, and of course, horse-drawn carriages. There are numerous organizations here in Western Montana that will take you out on a horse-drawn sleigh or a horse-drawn carriage. We take advantage of every season, and there are numerous places where you can go and try your hat at being a cowgirl or cowboy and go horseback riding. And I have to throw in here, since Kita is an expert at this. You can also go llama trekking. And let me tell you about llama trekking. I have to tell you about llama trekking because that is also in my top 10 things I've ever done. So llama trekking, it's not when you ride on the back of a llama, which is what I first thought we were going to do, but that's not the case. When you go llama trekking, a llama carries your stuff, and you can go llama trekking for 3 to 5 days, for example. And so they would carry all of your camping gear. In the experience that Keita and I had is that we went on a half-day llama trek, and our llamas carried our water and our jackets and our lunch. And we trekked into a waterfall, and we each had our own llama, and we guided our llama along, and our llamas were, it was like someone was following you. You would stop, and the llama's head would be right at your ear. I mean, that the llamas are so docile and so sweet. And then we got up to this waterfall, and our guides unpacked our llamas and gave them snacks, and then we had this beautiful lunch at this waterfall, and the llamas just hung out, and then we hiked our llamas back in, and it was so fun, and the llamas were just charming, so fun.
You can do like multi-night trips too.
You can. Yep. You can trek into the back country and trek in with guides and with llamas. So it is quite an experience.
Yeah, that's just amazing to me. Now, real quick, let's mention Kalispell, where is the place to buy cowboy hats and boots. And I haven't been there yet, so I need to remedy this.
Yes, Kalispell is great. It has a historic downtown, and it has all sorts of Western shops to buy cowboy hats and boots. My favorite place is called the Toggery, but it probably wouldn't be in the category of real cowboy boots and real cowboy hats. It's more of a fashion statement, which is more my style. But there are lots of places dotted throughout the region, Western wear shops that you can buy those things.
Okay, just a couple of minutes left here. So Glacier Country sounds like a great place to enjoy fine food and drink, but Keita's the expert on this, so I'm going to let her take her food questions real quick.
So isn't it true that Glacier Country not only has terrific steakhouses, but also James Beard-nominated chefs?
Yes. So up in Whitefish, there is a fantastic restaurant called Cafe Kandahar, and Andy Blanton is the chef there, and he was a James Beard-nominated chef. And I like to equate the chefs that we have in this region with the artists, and the fact that with the artists, we have many, many artists, fantastic artists, because you can be a chef or an artist pretty much anywhere, right? And chefs and artists tend to be inspired by the landscapes here and the quality of life here. And so we have phenomenal chefs, and they take advantage of all of the Montana foods, such as flathead cherries and huckleberries and elk and buffalo. We are known for our buffalo burgers and our morel mushrooms, our wild huckleberries. We have
I've got to interject here because we are quickly running out of time, Lucy. Thank you, Lucy Begley of Glacier Country, Montana. Great talk. Could have kept you on for another half hour at least, and we'll have to bring you back.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Dan, so much.
Okay, our guest tonight has been Lucy Guthrie Begley, Public Relations and Earned Media Manager of Glacier Country, Montana. Next week, we will go to the Louisville Slugger Museum in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you all for listening. This is Dan Schlossberg, along with my co-host, Keita Roberts, thanking you for your time this time. Until next time, be safe and good night.